السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. حضرت مولانا مسیح اللہ رحمۃ اللہ علیہ واز ڈسکسنگ ود ریگارڈس ٹو سرٹن بزرگان دین. ابو الحسن نوری از گون ٹو ایکسپلین دیٹ اینڈ دین از other points are coming in between. So still on the subject of Noor, Pirani Sahiba, they say Pirani Sahiba, then they are referring to Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali's honorable wife. So Pirani Sahiba related that she saw a Noor rising from Hazrat Wala's Shahadat finger. Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, from his Shahadat finger, she saw a Noor rising. So this Noor rose upwards and spread itself towards the sky. So this she witnessed shortly before he passed away. So Hazrat Imam Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali is saying that the point I wish to make is that Hazrat Wala used to make dhikr with his fingers his entire life. But this Noor manifested itself only at the terminal stage, right in the end of his life. So this incident related by Pirani Sahiba comes as no surprise. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali is saying that many years prior to this, Hazrat Wala, meaning Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, stated that Alhamdulillah, it is a blessing of Allah Ta'ala. Wa amma bi ni'mati rabbika fahaddith, that with regards to the bounties of Allah Ta'ala, you must mention them. But obviously not for people like me. If we start mentioning, then pride will come into us. One is there is nothing to mention, but if we start mentioning, then pride will come into us. But these Buzrugan-e-Deen, when they feel confident, that they have brought the nafs into Qabu. It's like those people, our Hazrat Mahesh Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentioned, that in India, you get these people, they have a cobra in a basket, you know, and then they open the lid of the basket, and they sing the flute. And the cobra then comes up, and it seems as if the cobra is moving with their tune. All that flute, everything is haram. We're not saying that that is permissible. We're just giving an example. Now, you and I can't go and do that with the cobra. The burial society will have to come to fetch us. But these people now, they have got that expertise, they got the know-how, how to mesmerize the snake. So they do it. So like that, these Buzrugan-e-Deen, towards the latter portion of their life, when they feel confident that they have got this nafs in Qabu, then they mention certain things. They mention certain things as a sabak for us, as an encouragement for their murids, and also as a manifestation of Allah Ta'ala's power, that Allah Ta'ala can show these things. People sometimes have certain doubts creep in their minds, etc. But sometimes through the karamat of the awliya Allah, then these doubts are dispelled. So towards the latter portion of his life, he mentioned that all the states, all the ahwal, the different states that had been experienced by the earlier awliya Allah has been experienced by me as well. Except for one, I have never yet been in a state of engrossment, absorption, istighraq, totally absorbed with Allah Ta'ala to such an extent that now you don't know what's going on around you. So he said, that state I haven't experienced as yet. We are totally, totally absorbed, and like you don't know what's happening around you. That state I haven't experienced as yet. So then he said that though it's not essential, all these things are not necessary. Necessary is to do what Allah Pak wants us to do. After that, whatever ahwal Allah Ta'ala wants somebody to experience, then experience. And if Allah Ta'ala don't want us to experience anything, you won't experience. If a person doesn't experience these things, it doesn't mean that he's not progressing. Long as he's remaining in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he is abstaining from the disobedience, then he is progressing. So he said that though it is not essential, but it would be nice to experience that as well. Allah Walas, so they want to experience those things from Allah Ta'ala. We dunya people, right? Now you get some people, they are heavy into the fishing, right? So, I said, no, it would be nice to fish that dam, or nice to fish in that place. Well, that's what keeps them ticking, right? You get a person, he likes his motorbike. So now he says, hey, no, I want to go for a burn on that road. No, go for a burn on this road. Be nice to try that track. Nice to, So each person, he has his, the Allah Walas, they have got dating. Dating is their relationship with Allah Ta'ala. So now they want to experience those things. Today, one alim had come here in the afternoon, Maulana Musa Al-Ghasa. So he mentioned one ajeeb thing. He said that, see, we must always have azmat, have respect, deep respect in our heart. Then Allah Ta'ala sometimes shows you certain things. Like some Buzrugani Deen, when they go to Uhud, right, then they experience different things. Some of them, they say that while they are there, they can still hear the battle. They're still hearing the battle on the backlights. So they are still hearing the battle. Then also, the battle of Mutah, this took place in the border of Jordan, what is current day Jordan. So, people mention that in the old days, when people used to go there for ziyarah, they used to go to see this battlefield where this battle took place. So, they used to actually hear, they used to hear the battle, they used to hear things of the battle. But they say, as soon as this university got built there, there's a university that has been built close by to where the battlefield. So as soon as that university came up there, all this stopped. They don't experience this. Nobody experiences this thing anymore. So Maulana was mentioning, he says that once he went onto Mount Uhud and he's thinking of the ahadith that Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned with regards to Mount Uhud. So he felt difficult on that day to go on Mount Uhud with his shoes. What virtues Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned with regards to this mountain range. So he went and he stood on this mountain range, he stood on the mountain bare feet for a period of time. I know our Hazrat Mohammed Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali in his young days, then he used to go after Fajr to Uhud. And he used to go away to the place where Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had taken refuge during the battle. And then he would remain there and come back before Zuhr. Before Zuhr Salah in the Haram, he would come back. So Allah Ta'ala alone knows what they were experiencing there. So, according to Maulana Olga Sahab, he mentioned this, that the place where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam took rest, the mountain took the shape of his Mubarak body. The mountain became soft. This is what Maulana said. So, the place where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam rested his Mubarak head and his Mubarak body, the ground also is in that shape. I don't know. I haven't seen. I'm telling you what Maulana said. So anyway, Maulana was mentioning this, that he stood on the mountain. And after that, he perceived a fragrance. So he took the sand, and he rubbed it on himself. And some of that sand remained with him. So he says that it is, I think he said 11 years or 14 years or something back, because he experienced this thing. But up to now, that sand has still got that fragrance. Sometime. So our Hazrat Mohammed Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he had the hair Mubarak of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So there is a brother from an elderly person from Durban, Ibrahim Duma from Durban. So he was close with Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. So Hazrat may have shown him this hair Mubarak of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when he smelt the sand by Maulana Musa Olga Sahab, so he mentioned to Maulana that the similar fragrance what I got from the Baal Mubarak of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the similar fragrance I am perceiving from this soil. So as I said to you, that these things are all not necessary things in life, but people who are lovers of Allah Ta'ala, so they want to experience certain things also, but it's not essential. So, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said that it would be nice to experience that state as well. If I don't experience it, there's no remorse. But it's just a desire. It's just a tamanna in the heart. So, Shah Abdul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali is one of the awliya Allah. He is well known for his states of engrossment, istighraq, is to go into this in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, when he's making his dhikrullah, he used to get so absorbed that he doesn't know anything that's happening around him. His absorption was such that he would after that forget even simple routines. He was so absorbed. So in any event, Mufti Jamil Sahib, he had come to Hazrat Wala's room to administer some medication. This was before Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali passed away, when he was not well. So when he entered the room, he said, Bare Abba, they had a lot of adab, you know. Like Hazrat Ji Muhammad Sallallahu Rahmatullah Ali, everyone in Jalalabad used to call him Abba Ji. Even the beggar in the road to Abba Ji, the whole village, everybody, Abba Ji. So Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, when Mufti Jamil Sahib went in the room, so he said, Bare Abba, in other words, Elder Father. So Hazrat Wala used to be addressed as Bare Abba. But there was no response. So Mufti Jamil Saab called out in a louder voice. Right? Bere Abba, again he called out. Still no response. Then loudly, very loudly, with his mouth close to Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah, his ear, he said, Bere Abba, Bere Abba. So Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah's eyes opened. And then he said, the attention of one who is occupied should not be diverted to oneself. In other words, somebody who is occupied in something, don't divert his attention to you. So at this time, Allah Ta'ala had blessed Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali with this istighraq. Istighraq, shagal bil haqq, that you are occupied with Allah Ta'ala. Occupied with Allah Ta'ala. So not everybody experiences the same states. These ahwal differ. Individuals have their own unique experiences. So Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali is saying we have strayed a bit. All these things came like a jumla motariza in between. So we strayed a bit. We were talking about praise and censure. Somebody praising you, somebody insulting you. So he said, let's try again. The qissa we were about to relate was about Abul Hasan Nuri Rahmatullah Ali. And it also involves Bu Adi Sina. Bu Adi Sina, he was a physician. So Bu Adi Sina felt that he wants to go and visit this buzurg. Who? Nuri. He wants to go and visit him. Abul Hasan Nuri Rahmatullah Ali. So, he undertook the journey now. He came to the town of Abul Hasan Nuri Rahmatullah Ali. He came to the residence. He knocked on the door. So the wife was at home. She said, who is it? So he introduced himself that I am Bu Adi Sina. So what do you want? So very respectfully he said that, see, I have come to visit Hazrat Sheikh Abul Hasan Nuri. So that was the last thing he should have said. As soon as he said that, the wife started all her insults about the husband. The cruelest, harshest of words. He's like this and fake and what, you coming to see him, you wasted your time and all, he's a crook and a thief and a robber and everything, she went to town, everything. So Bu Adi Sina now, he is bewildered. Everybody is saying he's a big buzurg here. I came to meet him from so far, I traveled and came. Now what, his wife is talking something different now. So he was disappointed, he's regretful. He said, hey, doesn't seem like this man is who he is made out to be. I came all the way by mistake. I made a mistake traveling and coming here. So he apologized and he made salam and he went away. But then he thought to himself that, see, I came so far, yeah, I might as well just meet the man now. Came so far, just meet him, even if he's a fake also, rather just meet him also. So he asked some people where I'll find him. So they explained that, see, he normally goes into the woods to collect firewood, which he sells in the bazaar, and that is the manner in which he earns his rozi, he earns his livelihood like that. So Bu Adi Sina went into the woods. So he walked quite a distance. While he's now in the thick of the woods, he notices that there is like a buzurg, you know, person looking like a buzurg now, coming in his direction. What was amazing, there was a lion walking alongside him. He is coming in the direction of Bu Adi Sina. And a lion is walking alongside him. Moreover, the lion was carrying a bundle of firewood. So he realized immediately that this has to be Abul Hasan Nuri Rahmatullah Ali. So Abu Adi Sina slowed down. Obviously there is a lion there now. So now he slowed down. So they made salam now from a distance. So Abul Hasan Nuri Rahmatullah Ali asked him, he said, Bu Adi,
You are afraid of the lion. He doesn't harm humans. This lion don't harm humans. It reminds me of one uncle, you know. He's marhum na, Allah for his cover with Noor. That's from Pochefstan. So he used to always tell one story. Some people, they came to one house. There's a big dog there. So they're afraid to enter the house. So that person is telling the visitors, then a kutro che pan dant ni mare. He said, there is a dog but got no teeth. So Abul Hasan Nuri Rahmatullahi is telling Bu Ali Sina, he says, are you afraid of the lion? He said, the lion doesn't harm humans. Don't be afraid. So Bu Ali Sina now is a bit reassured, so he approaches but with caution. So then he explained himself. He said, Hazrat, I went first to your house and your wife answered the door. She inquired what I wanted. I only said that I came to visit you. And she started one way, saying such horrible and disrespectful things about you that it was most embarrassing to stand and even listen to it. So Abul Hasan Nuri Rahmatullahi, he is offering an apology to Bu Ali Sina on behalf of his wife. So no, never mind. Forgive her. I'm apologizing on her behalf. That she caused you this taklif now to listen to all these things. So Bu Ali Sina continued. He said, but there's something more strange that's puzzling me. So Abul Hasan Nuri Rahmatullahi asked him, what is it? So he says, see, what I cannot understand is, your wife, she got such an upper hand over you, right? But you got an upper hand over this fierce lion. You can tame this king of the jungle, but you couldn't tame the mermaid there in your house. He didn't say that. In our words now. This fierce big king of the jungle, yeah, you tamed it. But now, your wife there at home, she's roaring at you. You can't tame her. So Abul Hasan Nuri Rahmatullahi said, Are Mia, if one is able to bear the burden imposed on one by an ewe, right? How is this lion going to bear our burden? And if a person is unable to bear the burden of his wife, in other words, what he's saying, the sabr I'm making there, Allah Ta'ala gave me all this. Sabr that I'm making there, Allah Ta'ala gave me all this. It is because we carry the burden of her attitude that this lion bears our burden. The lion is carrying the firewood. Otherwise, where you saw a lion working for anybody? So Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali said, are you listening, bachcho? He said, children, are you listening? He said, praise and rebuke, praise and insult. The wife calls him horrible names, but there is absolutely no acknowledgement of his saintly status from her. Calls him everything. She doesn't even acknowledge who he is. Only the heart of a wadi can bear such censure from a wife. A mu'min wadi, a wadi in whom the demands of iman has caused him to leave off all sin and caused him to adopt taqwa and humility. A wadi whose tongue and heart is engaged constantly in dhikr. Dhikr lisani is making dhikr with the tongue. Dhikr qalbi is making zikr with the heart. So he has reached a stage where his gaze is not on the creation. His gaze is on the creator. All the time his gaze is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not on the creation. So only when a person is like that, you'll be able to bear these kind of things. So the ladies that are listening, so they will maybe say, right, they need to keep testing us to see whether we reached anyway. Yes. Allah khair kare. So Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali says that the person who doesn't have these qualities, he is not a man. He is a mere kitten. He is no mia. Mia, no, in Urdu they say mia for a man. Mia, mia so and so, mia so and so. They say he is not a mia, he is merely a meow. He's a meow. If he keeps getting angry and keeps shouting and swearing the wife and fighting with the wife, then he's not a mia, he's not a man. He's a meow. So alhamdulillah, we are in the month of Shaban, and next week, I think Tuesday night is the 15th of Shaban. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast a lot. But we are told that after the 15th Shaban, if we're not in the habit of fasting, we mustn't fast. Because we mustn't become weak and then we can't fast in the month of Ramadan Sharif. But on this 15th night of Shaban, Allah Ta'ala forgives. Allah's forgiveness knows no limits. So many people are forgiven. Du'as are accepted, etc. Now you get those people, they start, you see all the messages coming about now. Say, no, there's no significance and what is all this about and so those days saying no significance, then good luck to them, try to go sleep. We're gonna go. But those, there are so many ahadith, so many different ahadith. Maybe the ahadith are not of such a, you know, the ulama will understand now the sanad and how strong the hadith is and how weak the hadith is. That's not for us now. Right? But even when it comes to weak ahadith, in virtue, when there are many ahadith, many weak ahadith, speaking about the same thing, then it lends strength to it. So many ahadith, there must be something to it. So, you read in the kitabs, you know, in the side notes. So they say that the students of hadith now, so they will be worried about how strong the hadith is and how weak the hadith is. And the fuqaha, they will be checking now all the ikhtilafs and, you know, and say the Sufia, they say, "Why? Just tell us what to make amal upon here, right? This night we must cry to Allah Pak and make dua, right? No problem. Just give us that job. We'll do that." And in one hadith sharif, not in one, quite few ahadith with regards to Laylatul Nisf min Shaban, what we call Shabe Barat, etc. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned those categories of people who even on this night, they are not forgiven. So we must check up. We must check up those categories and see whether I am guilty of anything there. So I must make tawbah, make istighfar. One of the things which today even learned people, not learned people, etc., we are so negligent about it, is wearing the pants beneath the ankle. Now we think it's a small thing. And you get people asking also. I remember one time some youngsters, they came to me, they said, "Maulana, but why is such a big deal?" Like, you know, youngsters now, they talk, they nadan, so they say, "Why is such a big deal now? Whether you wear the pants below the ankle or above the ankle now, what's so big deal?" So I told them, I say, "Yeah, you're right, man. It's not a big deal, so just wear it above then. It's not a big deal whether you wear it below or above, so just wear it above, then no problem. Your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wore it above, you never wear it below, so you wear it above. Why you can't put it above? So you know it's a big deal. Today I was reading one riwayat, that if a person has to read 4 rakat salatul duha, then he gets the sawab of making ibadatul lilatul qadr. But he reads it just before zawal time, no? At that time he reads it. Right? Now, you think that it's just 4 rakat salatul duha and such a great reward. But how many of us can do it? How many of us can take out the time and do it? So this pants above the ankle, then family ties, person who broken family ties, person who got, you know, dirt in his heart towards somebody. So we must do a clean up now. Allah Pak is giving us an opportunity. Ramadan Sharif is coming. We don't want to go into Ramadan Sharif with dirty hearts. And now we must prepare and get ourselves geared up and ready for Ramadan Sharif. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Yesterday I went to visit one family here in Pietermaritzburg. The father had passed away, you know. But when you hear the khidmat, that the son is making for the father over the years, you know, and the, even the daughter-in-law in the house, etc., how much they have to adjust their lives now because the father was not well. So then you see that there are still people in the dunya that make that kind of khidmat. Otherwise today, who wants to make khidmat? Today is ajib. The old people too, they too got no tolerance. They don't want to stay with anybody too. And the young people, they got no time to see to the old people. Before, the old people, they didn't have too many now, you know, like, they were just now making Allah, Allah, they just sit down and carry on, and they stayed, and they had tolerance, and they stayed, and they carried on, and the young people, they loved the old people, they respected the old people, and they were prepared to make their khidmat and take care of them, look after them. Today the young people, they got no time too for the old people, Allah forgive us. And the old people too, they too so, you know, what you call, no tolerance, that they too don't want to stay with anybody too. And now so many times you're hearing, people are passing away alone in the house, nobody knows. People are passing away alone in the house, nobody even knows. Then, couple days later, somebody is getting a smell, somebody is something, then they have to break the door down and go inside. Already rigor mortis has set in. Person already passed away a couple days ago. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. But I was so pleased that somebody sitting here also with us. He also, his father was not well. What khidmat he was making for his father before the father passed away. So you see, there are still people like that in the dunya making khidmat, the last thing. Whether it come to bathing the father, cleaning the father, whatever. They are making the khidmat. Normally you hear girls making khidmat of the mothers. But very rare you hear that the sons making khidmat of the fathers. Allah Ta'ala reward them. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا يوم يقوم الحساب اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغارا اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله.